All right. Brother Jeremiah, you have that microphone for us? All right. Why don't one of you guys, Brother Caleb, why don't you take that microphone and run around to folks? I'm going to start off tonight. I want to have a little bit of time of testimony. We will have Bible study. Jeremiah's got it upstairs. He's bringing it down. And we have a wireless mic, and we do this from time to time, not as often as sometimes folks would like us to, but one of the things that we do every year is Restore-a-thon, and this is something for myself. I'll give a testimony, and then you start thinking about yours, all right, about a testimony of what God's done in your heart. For me, I not born and raised in Haines City and never been in a town that had a good gospel radio station. The one I lived in did have a gospel radio station, but they played music that sounded just like the world. And it wasn't something I knew that was not gospel music. I knew it wasn't right. I knew it wasn't something I wanted to listen to. And so when the Walkers would come to town and with other folks would come to town, we would get something that they sold called a cassette. And I don't have time to teach you science about it, but we would stick that cassette in, and those things would wear them out side to side, and just listen to them and listen to them and listen to them until we just had wore out, or we'd break that tape, and then we'd go back as a family. I'm just being as honest as I can be. We'd go back to listen to the same old country music that we listened to before. And then we'd get right with God again. It'd be revival time, and two or three groups would come into town, and they'd bring their CDs. And, man, we'd put off and turn all those things off, break everything we had, and get good gospel music, and we'd run them things until we wore them out again. And then we'd go back to... And I'm so thankful when I moved to Haines City. Listen, I'm just going to tell you, God, I had already made a decision, but, you know, it made my decision so much easier to have a radio station that preached the gospel, that had good gospel music, and I didn't have to keep flipping the tape or putting in the CD. I could just turn on the radio and just trust that it was going to be something God could use in my life. There's nothing like it. Waking up in the morning here, opening my Bible, finishing my Bible reading as a college student, and then turning the radio on and just listening, and songs about the blood, and just songs that would uplift my soul. And it just edified my Christian walk in life as I went to Bible college here, and it changed me from the inside out. And I'm just going to tell you, it changed me to the place where I didn't want any more of that worldly music. It didn't appeal to me anymore. It didn't speak to me. And I knew so much of the difference, because, yeah, you know, there's some stuff out there in the world you can listen to that somebody is speaking true words, but how many of those are all the ones that listen? And I'm just, all I know is country music. I'm just telling you, that's all I knew in my past, and I'd listen to that, and, you know, you'd listen to one and it'd be good about your father, and the next one would be about, you know, prop me up beside the jukebox, about a lifestyle I didn't know anything about, drinking themselves under their table. All right, tell my wife I'm going fishing and I'm never coming back again. I don't know all them songs. I don't know where they all come. I'm just saying, you know as well as I do that stuff never changed your life.
Yeah, right.
It'll just take you right back where you used to be. And it glorifies the wrong thing. And we wonder why. You say, well, what's so wicked about it? Well, what's glorifying about it?
Right.
Amen? Who are you praising when you listen to that? You say, I thought this was testimony time, not preaching. That's why I got another microphone, because if I keep talking about it, it's liable to turn into preaching. Amen? So just raise your hand, and Brother Caleb will come. And again tonight, the testimony time, start with Brother Doug. The testimony time tonight is about Restore-a-thon. All right? So focus, you know. We have other time for you to tell me about your sick dog, Lucky.
I got this sick dog, Lucky. You see? Now, my first Restore-a-thon, I had a couple different Restore-a-thons that I never knew anybody here or anything. I was out and about around the world and stuff, wherever the Army sent me. And one I remember, I pledged from Korea, and that was pretty good. But the one you guys probably hear on the radio where these guys are said a couple years ago, that's nothing. I pledged from Afghanistan right there.
Amen.
And that was probably one of my most memorable, because I got the pledge from Afghanistan, and the folks on the telephone probably didn't believe me, but that's where I was. Mm-hmm. And it was good. But just being here and being part of it. I said last year, the year before, I used to think there was like five or six people in the radio. And it's not that way. There's people everywhere behind the scenes doing everything. And yeah, you got a couple of DJs on there, and they're pleading for your pledges and so on and so forth. But those people behind the scenes are working so hard. Wait till you see this Restore-a-thon building tomorrow. You got to go in there and see what, when you walk into the lobby, it's just going to blow you away. It's amazing. Amen. So it's just, my most memorable Restore-a-thon is just the last one. Every Amen. Time it's the last
every
one.
Year.
It's great.
Amen.
It's great. Yes, sir.
Amen. Brother Donahue, back there in the back.
Hey, praise the Lord for the Restore-a-thon, because it keeps the radio on.
Amen.
And when I'm 10,000 miles away in Cambodia, I can listen to the radio, and
Amen.
I can watch you on the internet, and
Amen.
What a blessing it is. And because people give a little here, a little there, we can get the gospel out all over the world. What
Amen.
A blessing it is. Thank you, preacher.
Amen. Somebody else. Hand up right there for the merch. And then Brother Nixon back there. I saw that hand next.
This will be our second Restore-a-thon. We worked it last year. We're going to work it again this year. She's going to work 4 days of it. And yeah. But often I'm on the road at 5 o'clock in the morning. And it's wonderful to turn on Pastor Carter and listen to his sermons in the morning
Amen.
Until I drive too far
Amen.
And I can't hear it anymore. So I have to figure out how to get my Bluetooth on my phone hooked up so I can listen to the whole sermon
Amen.
Most of the time. But it's a real blessing to be out there on the road and be able to listen to that every day. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. Thank you, my brother. All right. Dr. Nixon, is somebody else another hand they wanted afterwards? Don't everybody throw their hand up at once.
I'm afraid I have to be honest. I don't know how many Restore-a-thons we've had, but I made them all.
Amen.
That's nice and loud, huh?
Yes, sir.
There is just no way to be any place that is like this place.
Amen.
I've been all over the world, and this place is fantastic.
Amen.
My family all went to school here. They're all in Christian service. And they all took part in Restore-a-thon.
Amen.
And so, just to know that every year we get to do this, and God blesses every year. God blesses this church.
Amen.
Do we have problems? Yeah, but not any I'm going to tell you about.
Amen.
And I was with Pastor Carter for 43 years. And I thought, gee, when he leaves, I'm not going to like that. But you know what? I get to listen to Pastor Barry 3 times a week.
Amen. Amen.
And he does a great job.
Amen.
God put the right man here.
Praise the Lord.
And so for us to think of skipping Restore-a-thon would be totally stupid. And so all of you, please, take part, do your job, let's get it done.
Amen. Amen. And for all of you think that I pledged to him before that, I don't owe him anything. I appreciate the testimony, but I didn't pledge to him beforehand. Do you have somebody over here? All right. Thank you. Dr. Lee.
I've been around a long time. I'll take a little different approach and give some history that a lot of the people probably don't remember about our radio station. But when I was heading up to college, one of the things that I was asked to do, we were fighting trying to get a frequency for a radio station. And we had to file paperwork, and we had to send people off to Texas and different places, and I was involved in helping the person line up all of that, and we kept waiting and waiting, and one day we were hoping that we'd have a frequency. But I had the banker, Ernie Pinner, walk into my office and had a question for me. And the question was, he'd been asked to sit on the board of a radio station. And I said, whose? And he mentioned the name. He said, I believe it's Landmarks. And I said, no, we've never been told that. The gentleman that we had used to go and get the frequency ended up taking it over and started his own radio station. And then the Lord opened the door for us to get the AM radio station out on 544. And so we had a daytime station. And as God has done time and time again in the history of Landmark,
amen.
God messed everything up that gentleman was in trouble and had to get rid of the radio station.
Amen.
And guess who God gave it to?
Amen.
Landmark Baptist Church.
Amen.
And that's the radio station, the frequency that we worked so hard to get, and somebody tried to take it away from us, ended up losing it, and we had to work out the creative ways that you could get a nonprofit to a nonprofit, but we did.
Amen.
And because of that, God has given us a station that's gone on, and we've had restore-a-thon after restore-a-thon. I participated in every one of them. We'll continue to participate as long as God leaves us here. But time and time again, there are times when things seem to be an attack on Landmark. But God, just our preachers wait patiently.
Amen.
On the Lord, and God always turns it around. And His church, and that's the key, Pastor Parsons and Dr. Carter, do not view this as their church.
That's right.
They are under shepherds over God's church.
Amen.
And God's church always comes out.
Amen.
So there's a history lesson for you tonight.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody else tonight. I see Richard's hand. Let me just say this. Even some of the men that have already given, just some of the choice servants of God here, it has been my pleasure. I'll just take time, and I'm not trying to double dip tonight, but it has been my great pleasure to pastor the Landmark Baptist Church. And some of the men you've already heard speak tonight have rich history here of helping build this place under and with Pastor Carter.
Yeah.
And man don't do anything by himself. He does. God uses and sends him men and hands and help, and God has done that, and he's left some of them here to help us continue on, to give us our history. People that forget their history don't keep going the way they've always been. And so we need to remember where we came from. Amen. And so we're thankful for just what God's not only done in the past, but what he continues to do year after year, especially through Restore-a-thon. Brother Richard.
I was actually kind of on the lines of what I was thinking was, we've been here, 5 or 6, 7 years now, and the transition from Pastor Carter to you, and what's happened with the radio station, it's like you said, we're looking at possibly, breaking that record this year. We didn't take a dip, we didn't take a drive, we steadily kept climbing.
Amen.
And, I believe it's God's hand in everything. He takes care of it when he needs to, and he knows that this church is doing well and needs a radio station, and that we all need to support it to further it out, into the community. A lot of you people, are like us. We've been here 5 years, and I still don't remember everybody's name yet, but there's, more people showing up that you got to learn new names to. The only ones that are luckier are the older people that have been here long enough to remember everybody's name, and then they can pick up the new people's names easier than the other ones. So, it just, to me, it's a blessing because it's a big family. We talk about east side, west side of the church, but it's still, we're glad that, the Chamberlain's moved to that side. So, it's made it a lot more peaceful over here, but amen. But like I said, it's just been a big family. And that's what the radio station is also. It's a pleasure to work with Doug over there. He's always happy-go-lucky. I feel for his wife because we all get to see him smiling and happy, and she's got to put up with him when he's frowning and mad about stuff. So we tip our hat to her. So thank you.
And, he only attacked two people during that testimony tonight. So we made out pretty good. Amen. He didn't make it to trifecta before it was over. Amen. Amen. Who's next? All right. How about one more? I see one right here. Miss Mackey. All right. We'll make this our last one. Make it a good one, Miss Mackey. Make it a good one. Or else we'll have to go again.
Being a Yankee.
Amen.
From the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, Canadian border, all we hear is all the other stuff. And at home, and I may cry, Because when I'm at home and I turn on my 90.3, I can't wait to hear Amen. That whole Coming Home show with Jesse and all that. That just bounces me Amen. And it gives me an uplift. And all the voices of all you people that I love so much. I don't know how I'm ever going to go home. Amen. I love this.
You are
and
home.
Landmark.
You are home.
I am Amen. Home, you're right. But Landmark, to Amen. Think that we hear it
Amen.
Up there. How wonderful.
Amen.
How wonderful.
Thank you so much.
And Ms. Cambodia, they can hear it all over the world. And it isn't just goofy songs. It's the frogs. I love that song about the frogs. And it's Bible. It's
Amen.
Bible. And that's the important thing. Amen. Everything on that 90.3 is Bible.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Mack.
Thank you.
Amen. Full of Bible preaching and singing. All right, guys, you can put the mics away. Take your Bibles and go to Romans chapter number 5 tonight. And I'm not going to say anything about the time because that always shoots myself in the foot. Let me just say again, if you're wondering about this Restore-a-thon thing, you've never been a part of it here before. The way our radio station works is we raise money for 3 days to fill the budget, and then we use it up. Okay, and we empty out everything, and we have done that again. And so we need to fill all the budget back up for a brand new year, and we do that through pledges. And you'll hear this throughout the week, but a pledge is a promise. You don't have to have the money right now, but you can promise. Some people will go on and they'll pledge and they'll give now, but sometimes it's a blessing for folks that will do that throughout the year and they watch that come in. And God has always been faithful. I'll say this, and Brother Baker didn't give this testimony tonight, but the testimony Brother Baker often gives through the Restore-a-thon is that, that we had a guy come in that told us that he could help us get 80% of what was promised. And Brother Baker told him, you need to leave because we couldn't live off of that. He said, well, what do you get? We get, now he told him about 98% of what's promised. The last 3 years that I've been the pastor, we've got about 110% of what was promised. All right, so it's always gone over what people pledged and promised. God's always given us more. And so I'm thankful. God's good, folks, all the time. We just need to trust Him and be faithful to Him. And again, you can't outgive Him. I'll just say that again. Amen. He's sometimes we think about the goodness of God. I know for me and my family, the radio station is worth every pledge, every promise I make. And I know it's not just, we think about just the radio station, but it's not just good for me. My pledge goes so that other people can hear the gospel, so that other people can get what I have. And so it's not just something that is blessing me, it's something that is blessing others, and the gospel is going out because of what you give, and it keeps gospel radio in Haines City from sea to shining sea and around the world. It's a pledge for all that. It keeps everything going, and now in Spanish, amen, and it's going to help with that as well. We have a Spanish station as well, and so the Lord is doing above all that we could ask or think, but we'll ask Him to do it one more time. Amen. And we'll believe Him to do it. And we're going to be there for 3 days. So pray for us. Call in and encourage us. Amen. By pledging. You know, when we get on the radio and we start going, pledge now, pledge now, pledge now, blitz, 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 blitz. We mean it. We ain't just talking into the microphone. Amen. Sometimes to get everybody started, I'll walk over and call myself. Because I'm not going to ask you not to do something I wouldn't do. Amen. And I call and say, who is this? It's a preacher again. Put me down for another dollar. Amen. Because I just want to get things going. Amen. Yeah. And Romans chapter number 5. We've been through the book a little while here. And we kind of finished up near verse 8 of chapter 5. And we'll just give a little bit tonight. And I'm hoping to move a good ways through the book. Much of this is Paul, the doctoral lawyer of the Bible, amen, under the inspiration of God, trying to help us understand deep things, but says it in a way that even the smallest child can understand. Puts it in a way that every one of us can hold on to deep spiritual truths. This chapter, he balances the law and grace. If you read this chapter, one of the most promising verses in the whole Bible is chapter 5 and verse 8. We love that verse. We use that verse in our soul winning, but the entire chapter is rich. And when you get to the very last verse of the chapter, it is powerful. So powerful. It's so deep a book, but it's like a good piece of chicken. You can pick it and pick it, and you never pick it clean. Amen? Look at it with me. In verse 8, he says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Now, we studied all the way up to that point. Now, we're kind of entering new territory for us tonight in our study. "For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." He's teaching in contrast, which the Bible does this throughout, and he's teaching in contrast, if we are saved by his blood, back in verse 9, he says, if we're reconciled to God by his death, then we're also, he says, being much more, right? He said, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So one thing is a payment, our death. He is our substitutionary. Again, even in the word, I'm jumping ahead of myself, but I'm getting excited. He's going to use the terminology when we use reconciliation, reconcile. That word is is part of the definition of atonement. That word is used when it's describing, and he's building, and he's going to use the word atonement. And the atonement, the word itself, the very first meaningful word in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, and even Strong's Concordance got it right when it said exchange. Atonement is a trade. It's one for the other. It's an exchange that the guilty party goes free, and the person who's not guilty takes on himself what I owed. He says, for if we were enemies, we're reconciled to God. If reconciliation to God came by the death of his Son, how much more are we saved or reconciled through salvation by his life? You say, well, could you be saved without a resurrected Jesus Christ? We could have been reconciled to God to speak to him, but not saved. Because Jesus is the first fruits of eternal life. And there are a lot of people that discount the blood, but there's no salvation without the blood of Jesus Christ. And if Jesus did not rise, focus, I want you to understand and focus on this. Jesus' death would have been a payment, and I would not have had to die, all right, the same death that he died, all right? Focus on that. I don't want you to miss this. No, I don't want you to think I'm preaching heresy tonight. I want you to understand, but that would have left me stone cold, no blood atonement made in heaven. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus walked into a tabernacle not made with hands, the book of Hebrews says, and made a blood atonement for me. And because of his resurrected life, I can have life. Because he's going to live eternally, I am going to, three times in this chapter, you're going to use the term, I don't know how anybody could ever work their way to heaven or even think they could and have the book of Romans in their hand. Because in this chapter, one for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Spirit, it's going to use the term free gift, free gift, free gift. Not something you work for, not something you're baptized for. It's something that you simply has been purchased for you and is offered, and all you got to do is receive it. Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Simple, simple, simple. Even the smallest child can understand it. But he's going to go on because the Jew is going to have trouble with this. Anybody who served Old Testament under the law is going to get tripped up by the law because the law is just tripping him up. Then what do I do with the law? You telling me the law was just a schoolmaster to bring me to Christ? All along, it was just here to teach me I'm a sinner. Well, that's what the Bible's going to teach in this chapter. Read on with me. He says in verse 11, "And not only so." Now, I don't know about you, but if I said it in today's language, the Bible says, "And not only so." If I was going to say it, it'd be, "And that ain't all." Amen. Amen. "Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." I don't know about you, but what gets exciting is he says, we are reconciled to God by his death. We're reconciled to God by his life. And we have joy because of his atonement. Have life and life more abundant. Since just written in a different way. The same truth laid out in a different way in the scripture. And he goes on and says here, wherefore, again, therefore, wherefore, referencing back to the last truth that's been laid, the foundation that's been put down, as by one man sin entered into the world, he's going to go on a tangent from verse 12 to verse 19, and he is going to deal with every which way you could say, one man, one man. One man of sin, one man that's the Savior. One man that sinned, one man that's the Savior. He's going to say it any way that you could put it down and possibly ever be confused about it. He's going to lay a foundation. And in the middle, he's going to give you a terminology of he's going to fix everybody that would be under some dispensation. From Adam to Moses, this is true. And then he's going to use the terminology of the law. So all the way to Jesus Christ, he's like, everybody that came before Moses in the law, their sin, it's on upon them. Everybody that came after Moses in the law, they're all reconciled. They're all under sin. They needed a payment. So again, because people in their mind were thinking the law saved them, that they were working for heaven. The law never saved anybody. Nobody ever kept the Ten Commandments outside of Jesus Christ. But even the ones that tried and thought they did, they couldn't be saved that way, even if they could. Because salvation has never come by the law. No one ever kept a set of rules, and God exchanged their rules for death in hell. The only exchange or atonement that God ever made and will ever make is his son, Jesus Christ, and his holy and precious blood. And 12 to 19 is going to make that picture very clear. Adam came once. There's a first Adam. There's a second Adam. He goes on. Look, read with me. He says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed. The word imputed means it wasn't put on their account. Well, how did everybody get sin? If the law came along and people did wrong. Now, what the Bible is saying here is that some of the things that were found under the law were not imputed to man for righteousness until the law came along. Doesn't mean that man did not have sin imputed to him. Otherwise, Adam would still be living forever. Before Moses' law was ever written, God had some things that man had to do. Cain came along and messed himself up, and he didn't eat of the fruit of the tree because he wasn't allowed to be there anymore. But he left the garden, and God had clearly told them that they were supposed to make an offering, and he decided to offer a watermelon instead of a lamb. That picture, no watermelon ever pictured the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. It never pictured the blood atonement of the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And so no matter how you slice a watermelon, you ain't never going to come up with blood atonement. And so Cain did it wrong. And Cain had sin upon him. Not under the law, but the law that God, the information God had given him in his age, they could still sin. And plus, they were all sons of Adam, who sinned and passed death upon all men. So just trying to grab a hold and understand this, we're going to power through this because it's self-explanatory. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin it is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, you see how the Bible made that statement? It's trying to prove to you, because if you read that statement by yourself, some big old doctor of theology is going to try to tell you that everybody before the law went to heaven. Nuh-uh. Why did he have a flood then? You think, why didn't he put everybody on the boat? Noah didn't get everybody on. He invited them. They just rejected God's plan of salvation. And they drowned. He says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. So he's saying just because the law, before the law, all those sins that would be coming under the law were not imputed to man, it doesn't mean that they were sinless. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. The picture, that first Adam, the man that was sinless, that fell into sin, there was going to be a man that came again, that came to be the substitute for Adam's race. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Our time is spent, but tonight, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came and paid for your sin on Calvary, rose again the third day to give you life and give you life eternal. Well, why don't you let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved tonight? Do you know that it's just as simple as trusting in His finished work? Not in your works. If you're here and you're trusting in your baptism, you won't make it to heaven. If you're in here and you, man, I'm a good Sunday school teacher. I've been in church my whole life. If you're trusting in your church attendance to get you to heaven, you're not going to get there. If you're trusting in, like some of the people in the rest of the world, Jesus plus your works, I'm sorry, friend, it's Jesus plus nothing. It's simple faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ that saves, and His atonement that He made for all sin. Listen tonight, if you're here and you need it, how about this? Maybe you're here and you're thankful for that, and you're thankful that it gets preached on a radio every day of every year, and you want to see it happen again. Maybe you ought to step out tonight and just pray that God would bless our Restore-a-thon tonight. Maybe pray with your family at the altar. But if you're here and you're without Christ, listen, I would love to meet you in the front and take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven, all right? With heads bowed and eyes closed, as we stand to our feet, if God's spoken to your heart about salvation, meet me in the front. If you're here and you're a member of this church, man, and you want to pray, pray where you are. Come to the altar and just pray that God would have revival again on the radio, that God would do it again, fill the budget, and do what only God could do through His people. All right, as Brother Bert sings, if you're here and you need salvation, meet me in the front. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Would you pray tonight, if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you don't know for sure if you died right now that heaven would be your home. The invitation is to you. And this may be awkward and different. You've never been in a church that had an open invitation for people to come and receive Christ. The invitation is to you, folks. It's for you. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you really can put your faith and trust in the finished work of Christ and have what so many people are looking for in their works, in their baptism, and everything else. It's just as simple as trusting in what Jesus did for you on Calvary. And we'd love to take the Bible and show you how you can know it for sure. Why don't you step out and come tonight? As Brother Bert sings, you step out and come.
The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back.
Next verse together.
I have decided.
Let's sing it out together.
To follow Jesus. I have decided.
right, tomorrow, 7 a.m., Restore-a-thon 2023. Pray for it. And prepare for it. Pledge for it. Amen. All through the week. We're going to go all the way through the weekend. We're excited. And really, if you've never come, if you've listened and you've pledged, but you've never come down to the tower, do not rob yourself of the blessing of fellowshipping with God's people down at the tower and around the radio during Restore-a-thon. Yes, we'll go to midnight on Saturday night and maybe past that, especially if we haven't reached the goal. Amen. But be with us. You say, you're going to go to midnight and then have church the next morning? Man, we love it. We can't wait to go to bed. Can't wait to get up in the morning and have church. Amen. Amen. Tell everybody to come out this Sunday. Brother Walker's going to be preaching morning and evening. We're going to be rejoicing over the victory of Restore-a-thon. We're going to have a horse with a dog on it. How can you beat that? Amen. I tell you how, if you have somebody come and hear Jesus, hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they walk the aisle and get saved, that'd make it all even better, wouldn't it? Amen. If just one more soul. So let's not work just on Restore-a-thon. Let's work on Sunday too. Sunday's coming. And the only way people will be here is if we invite them. Amen. Let's close in prayer tonight. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. I thank you for God's people, Lord, that are in the building. And I know many tonight were sick and were not able to be here. I pray for them, Lord. I lift them up to you and ask you to heal them, Lord. Allow many of them to be a part of Restore-a-thon. There's still folks that are going to be on the radio that have yet come in. Give them safety as they come in. Miss Loretta, as she flies in, my wife, Lord, I pray that you just be with them. Give them traveling mercies, Lord. I pray you would be with our Restore-a-thon, Lord. Please restore the budget. I know that you have a number set in your heart and your mind that the radio station needs, Lord, to continue to be what it ought to be for you. Help us to meet that number, the number you've set, Lord. And help us, Lord, to get excited about what you've said and what you've done. Help us to be a part of it, to pledge towards that as your church. Lord, help us now as we prepare for Sunday. Be with us. Help us on Saturday. Boy, what a cowboy carnival. Lord, help people to be saved there. Help people to receive Jesus Christ because of coming out for a carnival. Help our people to be faithful, Lord, all through the week. But, Lord, I pray that you go with them now. As they go their separate ways, their kids go to school tomorrow. Bless our families. Be with our church. Help us to stay close to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.